Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries right here in Clearwater, Florida, on this beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, sunny day in our part of the world. Wherever you are today, we hope that you're having a great day and enjoying the presence of God. This is going to be an amazing show today. We are always on live every Sunday at 3 o'clock, just following Brother Chip's shows. And I tell you what, it's a joy to be on this radio station. Brother Chip just mentioned next Sunday at 5 o'clock is the memorial service for Dave Wagonford, which is one of the owners. He and Lola own this station, and so the memorial service is going to be held right here behind our station here at the restaurant Naughty Nancy's out in the grassy area there. That's at 5 o'clock next Sunday. Everyone is welcome, and it'll be a good time to honor this man, wonderful man. And so we will do that next week. We are glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. We are going to have a great discussion with some of our radio team members. And Nathan will be calling in here any second and probably is doing that right now. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister at Beacon of Hope. And today Nathan is joining me and Carol will be joining me and Betty will be joining later also. So we're going to have quite a show today. Nathan, how are you? Are you there, brother?
I'm doing really fine, thank you.
Yes, we just had a great time at lunch, didn't we? Took over Chili's restaurant, didn't we? It was fun, though, wasn't it? It was great. It's always good to fellowship and just have fun together after the wonderful service that we had this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is so present, was it not? Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I said the Spirit of the Lord was so present. Wasn't it?
Yes, you
were. Oh,
yes, you were.
What a mighty day. We've got some great word to talk about today, don't we? Starting in Luke 8, and we're just going to amplify on this concept and that we taught this morning, and it's going to be a really good, informative, Holy Spirit-filled 2 hours here on the air right now. And we're grateful to be on this radio station. Nathan, you were with me, you and Connie, on the very first show that we did here. April of 2007, and I cannot believe that's been 7 years, but it has, and we're now in our 8th year on this radio station, and Pastor Jim told me that he'd figured it out, and evidently our 400th show is going to be right around Thanksgiving of this year. I'm not sure which Sunday, but pretty close to Thanksgiving. That's a lot to be thankful for, don't you think?
Yes, it is.
What does the radio ministry mean to you, Nathan? I mean, I know that you've been on the air with me for a long time and taking your turn on the radio team and just giving your insights and talking about the Lord. But what does it mean to you? What happens to you as we do this?
I'm really blessed to be on it. I mean, just knowing that I'm being obedient to the Holy Spirit as He guides and directs during the show.
Yes.
Just being able to reach out and touch the lives of people that we may not even meet till we get to heaven.
Right. Right.
You know, but being able to reach out and touch people's lives for Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. It's wonderful, isn't it? It really is. That's what it's all about. We've really been talking, this whole series has been on frontline freedom, being on the front lines and being willing to move through those open doors and those golden opportunities that God gives us on a daily basis to give a greeting, give a smile, a hug, a word of encouragement to someone. What is that doing for you, Nathan? You're like this. You're extremely charismatic, I guess is the right word, in every sense of the word you are. But just full of love and compassion. And what does it mean to you when you reach out to people, I mean, on a daily basis?
Well, I just hope that people know that I'm sincere.
Right.
And that it is the love of Christ that compels me to do this.
Because, amen.
You know, I really want to serve the Lord.
Right.
And I really want to serve others.
Exactly. And it's a joy to be able to amplify on the Word of God, to be able to share our personal stories. That's what we do on the air, on this show. We apply it to our everyday life. And I tell you, that really blesses me, the way every one of our radio contributors is able to bring the truths of God's Word right down into our daily lives. I picked a song today, Nathan, to start with, and it's Great Is Thy Faithfulness. It's one that you and I know that we've sung for, what, 100 years or something? I don't know. This particular rendition is by Vestal Goodman, and she's gone to be with the Lord, and the group, the Newsboys. So it's kind of a cool rendition of Great Is Thy Faithfulness. But just tell me personally for you, Nathan, before we start this song, God's faithfulness. Talk to me about that.
Oh, well, you know, God's been faithful to me even when I wasn't faithful to Him.
Right.
He's always held me in His hand, and He's always loved me.
Yes.
And there have been times when I felt very far away from Him.
Right.
Because I was out doing my own thing, or, you know, or totally ignoring His call on my life.
Right.
And, but He's been faithful because, I mean, He's brought me back.
Yes.
And He's given me responsibilities in
His
kingdom.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing.
And what a joy to be able to fulfill the calling that God has on your life. There might be somebody listening today that has been running for a long time from everything that God has for them. What would you say to them today about that?
That you really will never know true happiness until you yield yourself to the will of God.
Exactly. And just yield
yourself to His call and let him use you.
Amen. Let Him use you. And that's what this show is all about. We just give God this time, and we plant the seeds in people's lives. We continue to see tremendous results from the radio show and from people who are getting the principles of the Word of God down on the inside of them. It's the Word that sets us free, is it not, brother?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Thank you, Lord.
So would you start with prayer today, Nathan, before we do this song?
Father, we just thank You and praise You for this opportunity to be on the radio program, to reach out and touch the lives and the hearts of many people. And we just pray in Jesus' name that whatever they need today, their needs will be met. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Great is Thy faithfulness. Praise God. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, you are so faithful to your word. Let's jump right in to Luke chapter 8. Last week we talked about the woman with the hemorrhage. We are going to go just past that. And we are going to start with verse 49. And this starts the story of Jairus. That this story began actually up in verse 40 when Jairus, who was an important leader in town, came to Jesus and said, my daughter is 12 years old. My only daughter, she's dying. And Jesus went with him and made his way through the crowd. But as Jesus goes through the crowd, something happens. This woman with the hemorrhage crawls up to Jesus' robe and is able to touch the hem of his garment, and she's healed. And we talked about this last week. And now, as soon as she is healed, and Jesus says to her in Luke 8:48, "Daughter, you took a risk trusting me. Now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed." And now we're ready for verse 49 of Luke 8. Jesus says, "Daughter, you took that risk trusting me. So live well, live blessed." While he was still talking, someone from the leader's house, this is Jairus' house now, comes up to Jesus and he says to him, "Your daughter's died. No need now to bother the teacher." This is the bad news that Jairus was afraid was going to happen, and it suddenly happens. And here he is face to face with the news that his daughter has died. Now, when Jesus hears this, and now we're in verse 50 of Luke 8, he says this. And Nathan, we made a big deal of this morning, these two sentences, didn't we? And I think these are life-changing sentences. And we're going to read them in the Message Bible, and then I'm going to ask for your comment on this, Nathan. Jesus says to Jairus, "Don't be upset. Only trust me, and everything will be all right." Did Jairus have a right to be upset right there, Nathan?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, I do too. He definitely had a right, right? Because he found out his daughter was dead, right?
Yeah, and that would be very upsetting news to me. And it was a comfort for Jesus to say, "Don't be upset."
Right.
"Don't be upset. Just trust in me, and everything will be all right." And that's like, that's heavy duty.
That's heavy duty.
That's heavy duty, because how can you not be upset?
Well, exactly. Our humanness says, "Wait a minute, I just found out that this loved one has died. Come on, we're going to be upset, you know?" And
yeah.
Yet Jesus knows something that Jairus doesn't know yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when he says not to be upset, how does that apply to us in this day and age? Because don't you think, Nathan, there are so many times when we receive bad news, or we are afraid that we're going to receive bad news, and we go ahead and get started in advance, panicking, being anxious, being fearful of the news, being worried of the outcome, etc. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, life in itself is full of complications and difficulties.
Right.
And trials and all kinds of garbage.
Right. It
all
certainly
kinds
is.
All kinds of things that can be upsetting come our way. And Jesus tells us not to be upset.
Well, there are so many, exactly, there are so many times that we can't see what God is doing, you know? And I think this is one of those times. All that Jairus is looking at is the news he just received. "Oh my, your daughter is dead." I mean, that's as far awful as it gets, right?
Yes, it is.
And yet Jesus, finite. Go ahead.
A finite situation.
It's horrible. And then yet Jesus says, "Just trust me and everything will be okay." That sentence right there has gripped my heart for the last couple days, Nathan. "Just trust me and everything will be all right." This is the crux of our relationship with God, is to learn to get to a place where we don't go off into panic, anxiety, fear, anger, whatever it might be, right? You know, don't be upset. Upset is kind of a word that kind of encompasses all those emotions, don't you think?
It encompasses a lot of negative emotions.
It sure does, doesn't it? Yeah. And so when Jesus says that to Jairus, it's almost like the curtain is pulled back a little and we can see Jairus must have been, maybe he was already crying and he had, you know, he had succumbed to that. Maybe, we don't know, because Jesus said, don't be upset. We don't know what he was doing. But I think he had some outward sign of emotion, don't you?
I think so, too.
Yeah. So how crazy is this next sentence? Just trust me and everything will be all right.
Well, given Jesus' reputation.
Yeah, right.
I believe that faith began to rise in Jairus.
I think so. Yeah.
I really believe that. I mean, because he knew of Jesus' reputation.
Right. Because he had come to him for the healing of his daughter.
Yeah.
So he knew that Jesus had the ability. So when Jesus speaks these words, that's a good point, Nathan. When Jesus speaks these exact words, just trust me and everything will be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Oh, my. And they are already on the way to the house, so they must have just arrived at the house, because the next sentence says going into the house. It doesn't say they traveled for hours. I think they were right there. Going into the house, he wouldn't let anyone enter with him except Peter, John, James, and the child's parents. Interesting that Jesus wanted himself surrounded by people of faith. Jairus, his wife. Obviously, they were in agreement, probably, for Jairus to go try to find Jesus to heal their daughter, okay? And Peter, James, and John. These are the people that were around Jesus. Talk to me about why he didn't let the whole crowd in.
Well, the thing of it is, the whole crowd was mocking him, because Jesus said, don't cry. You know, don't cry. She's not dead. She's sleeping. And they started mocking him and making fun of him. I mean, because they knew she was dead.
Right. They knew she was. That's verse 52 and 53. They knew it. They looked at the circumstantial evidence, you know, what the way the circumstances looked. And they had already had someone come out from that house and say she died, right? So they believed that report, which obviously it was a true report. She was dead, you know. But interesting that when Jesus said she didn't die, she's sleeping. Whoa, look at that. And they laughed at him, and they knew, because they knew she was dead. So in Jesus was seeing something they weren't seeing. What was he seeing? Are you there? Did I lose him? Nathan. Whoa, where'd he go? All right, maybe. Yeah. Whoa. You there, Nathan?
I'm here.
Okay, we lost you there for a minute. Okay, Jesus was seeing
what he was going to do.
Yeah, he was seeing what he was going to do, wasn't he? He was looking ahead and seeing, oh, wait a minute, I've got the answer to this problem.
Yeah.
Now, when he says here, just trust me and everything will be all right, I think that that sentence applies to our entire lives every single day. Talk to me about that.
I agree. Well, every day we have opportunities to make a decision, to make choices.
Right.
We can choose to be upset about certain circumstances, or we can choose to trust Jesus.
Right. Yes, we can.
And, you know, when he says, don't be upset, we can choose to trust him that everything's going to be all right.
But, you know, in our humanness, we figure out the way it should go, or we think that we know best, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's our human nature, you know, isn't it? And we just think, oh, no, it's supposed to go this way. You know, some people are very inflexible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. Because, I mean, here, these people thought that, wait a minute, no, she's dead, you know, period. Yeah. Like, end of story.
And they weren't giving Jesus any credit.
Exactly.
They were not, first of all, these people probably didn't acknowledge him as God.
Probably not. Yeah.
They probably didn't even, you know, they knew him as Jesus of Nazareth.
Right.
And that he was a carpenter's son. And, I mean, they'd seen him grow up and whatever. And they knew that he was a man.
Right. Yeah.
And he was a man.
Yeah. But But it says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So yes, he chose to put on an earthly body and come to this earth and show us the Father. But he also was in total and complete communication and trust with the Father, right?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
So this was God the Father's idea. Let's heal Jairus' daughter. How cool is that?
How cool is that?
And I love the fact that Jesus knew to surround himself with people of faith. How important is that to us today?
Really? Jesus was our example.
Yes.
And I think one of the reasons why we don't see as many miracles and as many people healed and delivered and see people raised from the dead as today is because there are not many people of faith.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
You know, that have faith for that. And Jesus, I mean, he was the Son of God, and yet he surrounded himself with people of faith.
Because he knew that negativity would hinder the process, right?
Right, right, exactly.
And, you know, I think that this is a life lesson for us right here, Nathan, that, in fact, I sang this little song in my sermon this morning. You remember it from Sunday school days. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Right? I sang that in Sunday school. Did you ever sing it in Sunday school?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because you and I both grew up as parents in ministry. And so I remember singing that song as a little tiny kid and pointing to your ears, pointing to your mouth, you know, be careful what you hear, be careful what you say, because there is such power in negativity. Talk to me about that, Nathan.
Well, you know, there are so many depressed Christians that really don't know the Word of God, for one thing.
Exactly.
They don't know the Word of God.
Right.
And then when they hear people's opinions,
right,
negative opinions, it brings them down.
Right.
And it defeats the purpose of God in their lives.
It's so easy to get on that negativity train, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it? Well, because people like drama.
There you go. I brought that out this morning. But you know what? Isn't that true, Nathan, really? This world loves drama. I mean, look at our news constantly. Yeah. What is it? So-and-so shot so-and-so, and then he went next door and shot somebody else. And I mean, you know, it's constant drama, isn't it? Are you there? I don't know why we keep losing you. Are you there, Nathan? Mm-mm-mm. Don't know what's going on here with him. Nathan, are you there? Okay. We'll get him back. Don't know what's happening. Okay, but the point is there is constant drama in our society, in the world, and that's what so many of our news programs feature. And what Jesus was really saying here was, people, be careful who you surround yourself with. Does your communication with those around you, does it uplift? Does it bring encouragement? Is it communication of faith? Okay, now we got you back again. Don't know why we're having trouble with you right now.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, okay, but there we go. We got you back. Okay, but talking about this negativity and this drama thing, Nathan, I honestly think that Jesus really makes a point here when he says, you know, just he only took Peter, James, and John and the child's parents in there, didn't he?
That's right.
Oh.
That's right. And I believe that the parents' faith was coming up when Jesus said, don't be upset, just trust in me, and everything will be all right.
Right. Yeah,
I believe that. I mean, that planted a seed of faith in those people and the parents.
Exactly.
They knew that God was going to do something about the situation.
Absolutely. And we know in John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, that when Martha's talking to him about, well, I know that you can and do something and whatever, that you will raise Lazarus up at the end of the age,
right.
And Jesus said, and I read it this morning in my Message Bible, he said, I even now, He said, mm-hmm. I even now am the resurrection and the life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not that I will be. He said to them, I even now am. So mm-hmm. I am. Jesus is the Son of God. He was God, even it taking on a human form. But here he is. He was the resurrection and the life. And he chose to exercise that ability and raise that child from the dead. Wow.
Yeah, think about that.
That just blows me away. I love it. Love it. And even though the people are laughing at him, I mean, you know, I think that this is a problem in this day and age. A lot of people don't realize that God wants to intervene mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. their circumstances, that he wants yeah. to be a part of their lives. And so often, instead of just saying, God, yes, whatever you want done here, I'm on board. So mm-hmm. often we fight. You know Jesus said to Paul, you're kicking against the goads. You know, you're mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. kicking and screaming and fussing over what, you know?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Go ahead.
Well, Paul was, before he was Paul, Saul was definitely against Christians.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Because, I mean, Christians were reaching out to Gentiles and
right.
and other people that were unworthy, so to speak,
right.
of a relationship with God. And so Paul was just, you know, he was doing his due diligence to see to it that Christianity did not spread.
Right, exactly.
And those that did accept Christianity would be punished.
Right.
You know, and he was, I mean, he was doing what he honestly believed.
Right. Exactly. And really what he was doing was kicking against what God's plan was for humanity, for each of us, for Paul himself. God had a plan. And, you know, Nathan, it just brings me one more time to the realization that God has a plan for each one of us.
For each one of us.
And
yeah.
he wants us to find out that plan. You know, I think so often we kick. We go through life kicking against what God's plan is for us. And instead of just embracing it and taking it on and saying, okay, God, whatever you want for me, that's what I want. And it's that whole thing of submission. Talk to me about that, Nathan, because I think that's where so often we just... Isn't God saying this to our body of believers right now, this whole concept of submission?
Well, exactly. You know, because we figured out, that we can plan our own lives.
Right.
We want to be the master of our own ship.
We do.
Choose our own direction.
Yes, we do.
And plan our lives and go the way we want to go.
Right.
That's how we feel.
Right.
And, you know, we're the master of our own destiny, so to speak, whatever.
Right.
And God has a plan that quite often is contrary to what we want to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, it's sometimes the total opposite of what we want to do.
But we've got to come to a place where we want to submit to that plan. And there are so many things that try to distract us and keep us from it, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, the world has offered so much.
It does, yeah.
You know, things that are pleasing to the eye and pleasing to our many appetites.
Right.
You know, that draws away from the will of God.
Right.
And so people have a tendency to go that way.
Yes.
You know, I mean, being a musician and being a singer, I often look at all the singers and musicians in the world, the pop stars and that, and, you know, God has given them the gift.
Right.
And I don't believe it's God's will for all of them to be going the way they're going.
Well, it seems to me like a lot of the lyrics of songs are getting worse and worse.
They are getting worse and worse.
You know.
And I mean, you can't help but be brought down.
Right.
You know, and the people that are doing it, you know, the things that happen in their lives, you know, how some of them die young.
Right.
You know.
Oh, I know. Yes.
The different things that happen to them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes,
drugs,
it's sad.
Drug culture and
right.
alcohol and, you know, all just horrible things.
Right. Exactly.
You know, because of the choices that they make.
Right.
and what they want to do with the gift that God has given to them.
But you just said the right word, choices that we make, because mm-hmm. it is up to us to choose to trust God, to choose His plan for us. And so often people think, okay, I'll do that later. You know, when I get around to it, I'll live for God.
When I get older.
When I get old and I have no other fun. mm-hmm. It's the funnest thing in the world to serve the Lord, isn't it, Brother Nathan?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Did we have fun today at church? Yeah. I mean, we had a great time.
Fun. We had a great time. We always have a great time. Oh. And people, if you're listening and you're in the Tampa Bay area, please come and visit us.
Yes.
At Beacon of Hope Ministries. Look up our website, BOHM
Global.com. Yeah.
And be able to give you good directions to how to get there.
Right.
Come and see. Come and taste and see. It
yes.
is good.
It is. It
we
is
have
fun.
A wonderful, wonderful time. Wonderful services. And wonderful. We have wonderful people.
We do. We do. Oh, we're blessed.
Oh, we are really blessed. We are really blessed. The love of God is truly shed abroad in all of our hearts.
Amen.
And that's one of the things I think people will testify to, that they honestly feel loved.
Yes.
When they come into the door.
Right. And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
There too. Yeah.
Oh my. I tell you, you and I usually get there by 9. Service starts at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, but you and I are there about 9 and start to sing and warm up. Uh-huh. And the Spirit of God is there from the first note, Nathan.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, because we prepare at home.
Yes, we have, because we are. That's exactly right. You know what, brother? That's exactly right.
We come intentionally ready to serve.
Absolutely, we do.
So praise and
it is intentional. It is intentional, and it's a privilege to be on this show. It's a privilege to have our services. It is part of God's ordained plan for our lives, and we embrace it with all that is within us. And as a result, it's wonderful. It's fun. It's exciting.
Fun is a key word, because I think that's one of the things the world is always looking for, having fun.
Right.
And they don't think that going to church could be fun.
Boy.
Come and visit us at Beacon of Hope.
Well, we never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And the Word...
It's always exciting.
It is. And the Word comes alive, and we learn the principles. In fact, today, our word for this show is delight. And you're going to understand that in a little while. Delight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that taking the Word of God and breaking it down to simple components that we can live by is the vision that we have at Beacon of Hope, that I have personally as a teacher and a pastor, is to bring those truths of God's Word down to simple, little, everyday living concepts. That's what this show is all about. You know what I'm talking about, Nathan?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Well, the sermons that you present to us, I think because of your background as a teacher, you have a way of presenting it to us that we can truly understand, we can get a hold of it. And we can always get a hold of the main concepts and the main ideas.
That's the goal.
And people bring a tablet and a pen, and they always write down, you know.
Write it down.
Information. I mean, I don't think anyone that comes to our services will leave and not know what the sermon was about.
Well, and see, that's the way, think about it. This is the way Jesus taught. He taught in stories. Yeah. He taught in examples. He made it simple. He boiled it down. And dear folks, today God is saying that we need to learn to delight in Him. And we're going to explain that in the next few minutes, what that really means. Mm-hmm. But it comes from a place of, God, I desire. You're talking, Nathan, about how much fun we have at church, and it is. It's fun, okay? And Wednesday night Bible study, it's the same thing. And it's because we enjoy the presence of God in our lives and in our services and in this show. We enjoy it.
And we enjoy the fellowship of one another.
Yes, we do. That's true. And that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be. Amen. Amen.
Well, look at Jesus. He's an example. Peter, James, and John. Look at that. Who did he take in to that house with him, Jairus' house? He took the three were the closest to him, that were his inner circle, that probably asked him more questions than anybody else, that wanted to really understand what Jesus was teaching. Peter, James, and John were that inner threesome right there, right around him.
Yeah, they were.
You know?
Yeah, they were. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration.
They were. Yes, when they saw him in all his glory. I just read that this week. Oh, what a story.
I'm telling you.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't have minded being one of the 12, but if I was one of the three, oh my goodness.
Because you know that they heard more insights, I imagine Peter, James, and John picking the brain of Jesus, going, wait a minute, what do you mean by that?
What did you mean by that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you all do that to me on Wednesday night.
Yes, do you not? Yes, we do.
I mean, we fill that 16-foot whiteboard full of truth, and then the discussion begins. I mean, it happens as we're filling the board with truth.
Filling the board,
But it is amazing that there is a new level of desire for the Word of God in our people, more than we have ever seen, Nathan, in all these years of ministry. We're in our 13th year as Beacon of Hope, and I don't remember any time in the past where people have desired the truth of God's Word more.
Sincere meat of the Word.
It's amazing to me.
And the thing of it is, we have true leaders in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people that come on Wednesday night, probably every one of them are leaders.
Right. They are.
Because they take the word. They take the word in and they live it.
That's it. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
And we can see it. We can testify that people are living the word.
Yes.
Because you can see it. It's observable.
Okay. How is it observable, brother? How?
Watching the changes I'm not going to mention any names.
Okay, no, don't do that. No.
But, some of the couples that have come and stuff, seeing how God works in their life, where at first it looked like they were going to break up.
Right.
When it first came.
Right.
But now, I mean, you couldn't drive a wedge between them if you tried.
Right. Yes.
Because God worked miracles after miracle after
miracle. It's God.
And people come hungry. And they expect miracles. They expect healing.
Amen.
They expect deliverance. They expect the things that God is eager to do for us and do in us and to us.
Are you saying that God loves us so much he wants us to be happy and at peace and fulfilled?
And free and filled.
Whoa.
And fulfilled. Yes, he does. He wants us to be, he says in the Word, he tells us in John 10:10, is it?
Yes.
The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
But I come that you might have life and that more abundantly and overflowing. I mean, God wants us to be happy.
And that kind of goes along with the word delight.
Yes,
okay. I mean, that's our word for the day. Remember Groucho Marx years ago? You and I probably remember, but Cedric would not. Do you know who Groucho is?
I do.
You do, really?
Yeah.
And on his shows, he would have a word for the day, and people had to try to figure out that word, and it would come flying down out of the air on a piece of paper. Okay? And basically, people were given hints by just things that were said, And then when that word was said, though, then this thing happened,
Bells would ring, and people would clap. And, I mean, you'd hear all kinds of noise.
So the word for today, I got to find my bell up here. Let me get it. It is, what, Nathan, what's the word?
Delight.
Woo, delight. Okay, let's try the bell here. All right, there we go. Delight, okay. Now, delight is best defined as something that you take pleasure in. Mm-hmm. Something that satisfies you, something that makes you happy. When you delight in something, like I delight in kayaking, and I'm going to get a chance this in the next few days, this week and next weekend coming up to get my ship out and go kayaking, and kids are coming home and all that good stuff. And I love to do that. I delight in getting out there on the water. And I was there at the beach on Saturday looking at all these people pulling up, backing up, getting their kayaks out. And I didn't have mine. I didn't have time. I had to work real estate all afternoon, but I was only there for a short time. But I was like, oh, I delight in getting out in my kayak. I delight in that. It's fun for me. You know, Nathan, when we are singing, you and I and Jim and Michelle and Alice and everybody, when we as a praise team are singing and we, the Holy Spirit is moving and you're writing a song right on the spot, how does that make you feel?
Delighted.
Woo!
But you knew that was coming.
Delighted, honey. Delighted. Yeah. It gives you joy. You know,
yes,
to delight gives you joy. Mm-hmm. You know, when we delight in God, oh my dear ones, you need the Lord. We all need the Lord. We're going to do that song, and then we're going to come back talking about this. People Need the Lord by the group Avalon. I love this song. Listen.
I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear.
Praise God. People need the Lord. Whoa, you're listening to Living Good Life today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Let's go to Psalm 1. Nathan, I just feel like we got to get into this concept of delighting in the Lord. And I think it's so cool that the book of Psalms starts out with Psalm 1. One I memorized as a child. I imagine you did too. And it's got the very word in it. You know that word we mentioned a minute ago?
Delight.
Delight, yes. Okay. Let's look at Psalm 1. It's only six verses. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. You know, that kind of goes back to the point we were making a little while ago, Nathan, about all the negativity and how Jesus only took Peter, James, and John in there in Jairus's house to raise the girl from the dead. He did not surround himself with troublemakers or mockers. Did he? I mean, it's interesting. And this book of Psalms, no doubters. The book of Psalms starts with this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. In the Message Bible, it says this: how well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road.
All right.
And you don't go to Smart Mouth College. Is that hilarious or what?
But it makes a point.
It does, doesn't it?
It makes the point.
The scoffers are the ones at Smart Mouth College, you know, make fun of, you know, and there's
they
a lot of people, the know-it-alls. There's a lot of people in our lives probably that don't appreciate the intensity with which we talk about God, with which we love God, the intensity with which we believe God for miracles and believe that he heals our bodies and sets us free from junk. And I love the way that Psalm starts out like this. You know, how well must God like you? Because you don't hang out at Sin Saloon, you know? That's funny. And
that is funny.
In the NIV, it's translated, you don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, be careful who you listen to. There it is, back to the little ears, right?
Yep.
Be careful what you listen to. And I think this is a huge life lesson that we need to learn. Nathan, talk to me about this.
Well, you know, people often try to influence you with their opinions.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And if you listen to negative opinions long enough, it'll bring you down.
It will bring you down.
It'll bring you down. It'll bring doubt. It'll cause you to fail.
It will. Yes.
You know, it'll cause you to fail because you won't believe.
Right. Yeah, because you get drug into that concept. And, you know, that woe is me attitude that some people are so full of self-pity and they're so full of negativity. And you know when you talk to them that it's going to be depressing. You know?
So you avoid them.
You avoid them. We know people like this. But, I mean, scripturally, right here in Psalm 1, it says, don't hang out with those. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked.
That's
don't
right.
stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of scoffers or mockers. Mm-hmm. Smart Mouth College, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But look at verse 2. But his delight, the one who is blessed, his delight. There. Wait a minute, I got to ring the bell. There it is. His delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. In the Message Bible right there, Nathan, it says, instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew.
That's another word for delight, to thrill.
Thrill, don't you think? It is. There it is, right there. You thrill at it. Oh, I like that, don't you? That's really good. You thrill to God's word. Okay? You chew on scriptures day and night. That's the word meditate, isn't it? Talk to me about meditation. What does that mean and how do you do it?
Well, when your mind goes to the Word of God and there's a scripture that maybe that comes up out of your bubbles up out of your spirit.
Right.
And you think on it. You think on it. And you'll push it back down and it'll bubble back up again.
There you go.
And you think on it and you think on it.
Yeah.
You know, and you apply it to your life.
Right. And the more you think about it, you go, whoa, that's for me. And this is what happened to me starting yesterday morning early. in a conversation, I started really this concept of delight. You know, and we're going to get to Psalm 37 where it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I think this is a missing ingredient for a lot of people in their lives. They don't delight in God and his word. Therefore, they get the results that are expected from not delighting.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Which is we get the desires we don't want.
That's right.
A lot of
That's
times. Right. Okay, we live out, it's all a self-fulfilling prophecy in that instead of getting what we really want in life because we have not chosen to delight ourselves in him and in his word, we don't get all the blessings that are there for us. Ooh,
That's
talk
true.
To me about that.
That's true. I mean, well, the word is very clear when it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a commandment, isn't it?
That is a command. It's not saying, Psalm 37, what verse is that, 2 or 3 or 4, does not say if you feel like it, does it?
If you feel like it, no.
Yeah.
If you're having a good day.
Yeah, if you're having a good day and you have nothing else to do. But the thing is, people, I'm going to throw this at you, Nathan. Can people delight themselves in the Lord if they don't spend time in the Word? I mean, the word causes us to want to delight in the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the word gets you familiar with the Lord.
There you go.
And the more familiar with the Lord you become, the more you will delight in him. You can't help but delight in him.
Right.
Because of who he is.
Exactly.
And all his promises that he gives to us.
Right.
And the only way you know his promises is if you're in the word.
Exactly.
The only way you know who he is if you're in the word.
That's exactly right.
You know,
so we can. It's almost. I love the way it says here in the Message Bible. Instead, you thrill to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You chew on Scripture day and night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know about you, but I'll just give you an example. What happened this morning is we were in our office there that we all share prior to the service, mm-hmm. and the word was just coming out verse after verse after verse after verse. This went on for like 10 minutes, you know, one scripture after another. It just kept coming out, the scripture, and I could feel what it was doing in me. I know what it was doing in Pastor Jim. I had my hands on his neck and shoulders, and every time I'd start a verse, he would just repeat it with me.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, he is like in a better place than he was when he walked in the door. Not that he was in a bad place, but I'm just saying, you could feel, it happens to me all the time, you feel your faith level rise, Nathan. That's what happens.
Oh, yes. Well, your heart is encouraged.
Woo, yes.
You're encouraged by the word, you know. I mean, that promise is for me.
Yes.
You know, God gave me that word. He gave that word specifically to me.
Yes.
You know, you think, and when you think on that, you can't help but be delighted.
Woo! And so you thrill to God's word. Now, some people may be saying, you know, you guys are crazy. I mean, you mean the Bible does that? The Bible does that for you? Oh, yes, it does. Try it. It's the best high you'll ever have. It is so much better than drama in your life.
Oh, yes. And if you have an interpretation that is confusing or dry to you, get a different interpretation.
Yeah, get a different translation. Yeah.
That's why
we love the Message Bible, because it breaks
Bible.
It down in our modern language.
It's today's language, and it's just and the way God says things in the Message Bible sometimes it just makes you laugh.
Oh, he's funny.
Because it's so right down to earth.
Right.
And it hits you right where you live.
delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Dear listeners, is it possible that you are needing to spend more time in the Word of God and more time praising him and delighting in him and opening your Bible and letting him speak to you through the pages of your Bible and receiving that thrill, that delight that satisfaction of hearing from God personally through the pages of your Bible. Woo!
How many times have you been going through the scriptures and God gives you a verse, a rhema word that's written out, written thousands of years ago, but is pertinent to you today?
That's our God. Isn't that cool?
It comes right out to you. It just jumps out, you know, it's like, whoa.
Hit you.
You know, that's for today.
That's for today. Hit you right between the eyes.
Yes.
Woo, and that's what rhema word means in the original Greek. The word rhema means it's that word of God that hits you. You know, that just, this is what the word delight did to me yesterday, Nathan. I'm not the same. Can't you tell? I'm not the same since this verse of scripture hit me yesterday. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is one of those if-then statements. You know what I mean? If you do this, God says, I'll do this.
You do this. Amen.
You know? Amen. Well, I mean, we have, our society is built on if-then. If you go to work, you're going to get a paycheck at the end of 2 weeks.
That's right.
Not in real estate, by the way, that I'm in. If you happen to sell a house, you might, at closing, get a check. But anyway, I mean, you know, it's different. But basically, our society is built on work and reward, right?
If you do this,
then this will happen, correct?
Right, exactly.
Same with God.
Exactly.
If you praise him in the storm, the storm will walk away.
The storm will be over. The storm will be over sooner.
Doesn't the word say if you lay hands on the sick, they'll be healed?
Recover.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, if you sing praises to God, it'll change your attitude.
Yes, it does.
Change your attitude and your perspective. You know, we can sit and sulk all day long. We can be negative. We can surround ourselves with negativity. And if you do, you're just going to have a little old pity party. Nobody wants to come to it anyway. Even if you invite them, send out invitations, they won't want to come. Because you know what? We want to be around happy people.
That's right.
Somebody that delights himself in God, and that if you're going through a rough time, you know you can call that person.
And they can lift you.
I had a call yesterday afternoon from one of my relatives, and I won't say who it was, but she was in despair. And she was crying, and she said, I need a word of encouragement. And I said, I'll call you right back. It's the truth. That's what I had to say. I was on the other line negotiating a deal on a house. And I said, I'll call you right back. And I did, like 5 minutes later. And I said, and I started to encourage and direct her right here to the Psalms. You got to read them. You got to let the Word of God. I know. Then do it. Because you got to get it down on the inside of you. That's the answer. Nathan, do you have a final word? I take it you're going off at 4.
Yeah.
I think Betty's getting ready to come on. Betty, are you on the air somewhere? Not yet. She will be.
Okay.
But
okay.
Nathan, give us a kind of a sum up of what you'd like to say about this subject today and how it's affected you.
Oh, today's word was a reminder to delight in the Lord, for me to delight in the Lord.
Amen.
And to be satisfied in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, to find my peace.
Yes.
My wholeness, my everything in him.
Amen.
And oh, it was a wonderful, wonderful service today.
It was. Praise God.
And I'm sure that everybody walked away thinking about being delighted.
Yes. That's the word. Wait a minute. What was that word? What did you just say that word was?
Delight.
Oh, that word. Okay.
There you go. Yourself in the Lord.
And you know, you are such a big help when I'm preaching, Nathan. You just sit there and soak it up and love it, and that's wonderful.
No,
praise God.
I do love it.
Well, we love you, brother. You've been faithful on this radio show for a real long time. God bless you. Have a good evening. Thank you for being on for this first hour. And just know that we see that you delight yourself in the Lord. We see it in your life.
Praise God. It shows.
Thank you. It comes through you. It comes in your hugs. It comes in your grins, your smiles, and the way you encourage our body of believers on the air and off the air. So God bless you.
Praise God.
Nathan Burton, Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in Clearwater, Florida, and this is Pastor Marcia. Nathan has been on the air with us, and I believe Betty has just joined me, and Betty is part of our Beacon of Hope family, she and her daughter Megan, and we're here live in the studio a couple weeks ago, and we miss you, Betty. We're glad you guys got to come to Florida and be a part of the ministry for a while.
Well, good afternoon, Pastor.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. This has been a great day. Can you tell it?
Oh, yes. In fact, I was listening to the first hour, and it's like, you sure encouraged me.
Praise God.
And I tell you, isn't it great to delight in the Lord?
You know, it hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday, Betty. I was in a discussion with someone, and we were talking about how we go through life so often not receiving the desires of our hearts. Sometimes we don't even know what those are, frankly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and in fact, we were talking about that the other day, about the desires of our heart, and it may not come now. It may not come in a week. It may not come in 30 days or 30 years, for that matter. But, you know, that's where our faith comes in, Pastor,
is
that we have to believe that by faith that, you know, we're going to see things transpire in our life that we've wanted for, you know, maybe for years.
Right.
And it's amazing, though, when it does happen, it's like, I mean, it's almost like you hit a brick wall. It's like, whoa, what happened? You know, well, I think you just got blessed.
Yes. Amen. But isn't that, it's just so amazing to me that when we really read what the word says, it's like a nugget. Okay. It's like a secret. You know, you want the desires of your heart, children, then delight in God, you know, thrill. I love that word in the Message Bible, Psalm 1:2 that we just read. Thrill to God's word. You know, just enjoy it.
Well, and that's why I think people look at Christians today, and I'll use myself as an example, not you this time.
Okay.
Is that people look at us like we're nuts.
Yes.
And it's like, why are you so happy? Just look what just happened in your life.
Right.
But yet you're still rejoicing. You're still praising God. And I said, well, you know, the Lord tells us to.
Amen.
And I believe his word is true.
Yes.
The Bible is true. The Bible is infallible. It's energy. I mean, it's like a B12 shot that you get when you're down. I mean,
isn't it true?
You know, it gets you under the skin, and it gets into your soul, and it gets deep down in, and it's like, wow, I feel better. I mean, just listening to your hour, just that 1 hour of listening to people be uplifting.
Yes.
And giving words of encouragement, I mean, it enlightens you. It lightens the burden, because it's, I mean, it's just amazing. But to be crazy in love with God is awesome.
It's so true. In my sermon today, I sang that old chorus we used to sing at Cornerstone years ago, Betty, when you and Megan and your family came to my church I pastored up there in Indiana. This is like, what, 30 years ago? And that I keep falling in love with him over and over and
over.
Remember?
Yes.
Over and over,
over
again.
Yep.
Right? And
yeah, and you do.
He grows sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I.
Yes.
Isn't that it?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know what? It does not, I almost used bad grammar, it don't get no better, Pastor.
It's so
better.
It doesn't.
And I can't, you know, you can't emphasize enough the joy of the Lord is our strength. Mm. And, I mean, it can hit home so quickly just by reading the Word.
Oh.
And it's amazing what maybe 5 minutes of his, of the Word can do to a person who is down.
Exactly.
Maybe not be feeling, and we've been battling some sinus infections up here for the last week, and it's just, you know, you don't feel like it, But you do it anyway, Pastor.
You do it anyway.
Even if you have to listen to it via an iPhone or through music, it gets down in and it cleans out all the cobwebs. I mean, we've talked about this before.
Amen.
It's a house cleaner, I'll tell you.
It is. And so listen to this song, and we'll talk on the other side of it. This is about the spirit wind that comes into you. And dear ones, Casting Crown song, I love this. Let the Holy Spirit come and just clean you up right now and give you a fresh new desire to light in Him.
Stared down into the valley, filled with dried bones baking in the sun. Remains that used to be a mighty army, to him it looked like the fighting days were done. But driven by your calling on his life, spoke God's words, the bones began to shake. He stared wide-eyed as the flesh began to form, and as it prophesied to the wind, the soldiers began to wake. And the Lord sent his wind into the valley and breathed a breath of life into their souls and raised them again a mighty army. Soon these arisen warriors will battle again. But they have been filled with the Spirit wind. A pastor stands before his congregation, once a mighty army for the Lord. But now he stares into the lifeless eyes, believers leading carnal lives. He wonders what they're fighting for. But driven by your calling on his life, he spoke God's word like he'd done 100 times before. This time he comes broken and weeping, the tears of a broken heart, and he cries out to the Lord. Oh Lord, send your wind into this valley, and breathe the breath of life into their souls. Raise them again a mighty army, soon these arisen warriors will battle again. Have been filled with the Spirit wind. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me, breathe your life in me. Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Some of us have valleys in our lives where the Spirit of the living God needs to invade right now and cause us to see the truth of enjoying the Word of God and enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that this is a game changer, Betty. This is not something where it's business as usual. When we get a hold of this, where the Holy Spirit wind comes and causes us to realize that we've got to delight in the Lord and meditate in His Word, read His Word, enjoy praising God. When we get that on the inside of us, it's a game changer.
Well, it's like if you're, let's say you're in a baseball game and you're at the bottom of the ninth inning, and there's no way. I mean, you're saying there's no way that we're going to be able to pull this
right
out.
Right.
Okay, but the coach, which would be Jesus in this instance, or this
right,
this little instance, is that the coach pulls out a play that he's never used before. The players have never heard of it, but the coach tells them it's in your playbook.
Yeah.
And it's in, or it's, you can say it's in the Bible.
Right.
Look at lesson plan number 77, and look at it and see what it says. So everybody pulls out their playbook and looks at, you know, plan 77, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And it changes everyone on that team. It changes their view of downtrodden. We're not going to be able to pull this out. But then they look at the play and say, "Well, we never even thought of this." Well, but it's funny because Jesus thought of it long before we were even,
right,
you know, even thought about. And then they use play 77 and pull out the game and only win by one run.
Right.
The thing is that even in life, life can change in 1 second.
Oh, absolutely.
And when we read God's word, It's like rain on a dry desert. It's
right,
like being refreshed. It's like the dry bones coming into, you know,
ooh,
back life. And I'm sure that there, and you can understand this too, is that there are pastors out there that are needing a breath of the,
yes,
you know, the spirit wind,
yes,
to blow through their congregation.
Yes.
And revive the congregation to,
amen,
a point where they want to be on the front line again.
Yes.
Because they were a mighty army at one time, but something just happened. I mean, they just dried up. Well, it could be because they needed to be back in the Word. They needed a refreshment coming. And, you know, that fresh living water,
yes,
that flows freely. That's all it takes, Pastor, and I know
that's
I've
it.
Been there. I can't speak for you, but I've been there. And when I'm not reading the Word,
mm-hmm, yeah,
I'm not being fed. I'm not being watered like I should, and I start dying. I literally start dying on the inside.
Right.
Because that's how a plant dies, is from the inside out.
That's right.
And then the roots start drying up, and then it's like, well, we're just free to blow with every passing wind.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't want that for us, Pastor.
And that is exactly what you're describing is verse 2 of Psalm 1. When we delight in the law of the Lord, which is His Word, and on the Word we meditate, which means chew it up, spit it out, talk it, live it, discuss it with somebody. When we meditate day and night, then we're going to be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever we do, we prosper. And everything that we put our hand to prospers when we are delighting in the Lord and His Word. That's scriptural. It says it right here. Let's go over to Psalm 37, and here it is again. This is the one that grabbed me, Betty, yesterday morning. And it starts out this way. I'm going to read in the NIV. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. How often do we get jealous about people's accomplishments, and they're not even godly people? We get maybe thinking, oh, I wish I had that, or I wish I could be like this person or that person. And David starts out here, Psalm 37, don't be fretting because of evil people or envious towards people who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Interesting that you use that metaphor about the plant, Betty, because here's where we were going in Psalm 37. And look at verse 3, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord if you feel like it, when everything's going good, and when you don't have anything else to do, go ahead and just trust in the Lord a little bit. Is that what it says?
No, trust in the Lord and do good. That would be all the time.
Yeah, do good. Do good.
Do good.
Okay?
Yeah.
Do good. In other words, if you're a troublemaker, stop it. You know, if you were one of those that are all the time loving negativity and stirring the pot, stop doing it. You say, Pastor, you don't realize how hard it is to break that habit. Well, just start saying, today I'm not going to stir the pot. Today I'm not going to be negative. Today I'm not going to be mean. Today I'm not going to be jealous or envious or whatever the case may be that is your bugaboo. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Bugaboo.
Yeah, it is. That
yeah.
is. I'll have to write that down.
Bugaboo. Kind of reminds me of the palmetto bugs that we have around here. Whatever your bugaboo is, okay, when we truly trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture, when verse 4 of Psalm 37 happens in our lives, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do it. And he goes on to say how wonderful it is in Psalm 37. If you haven't read Psalm 37 lately, you need to read it. How wonderful it is when we delight ourselves in the Lord. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, and if you keep good company, you're going to reap
good
better
point.
Results.
Right.
I know years ago there was a lot of negativity and drama where I worked.
Yeah.
And being a manager and a boss, you know, it was, you know, you had to squelch that immediately.
Yeah.
Because it was, I mean, it would destroy you like a fire, you know, destroys dry grass.
Right.
And people would look at you and like, why are you doing this? You know, this gives us something to think about. And I said, no. And I said, what this does is this is destroying you personally.
Yes.
And I said, if this was about you, would you like this going on?
Right.
And that's what God looks at us and says, would you want, do you want me, you know, when I look at you, what do I see?
Right.
I want God to see a godly person in me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him to see an evil person. I want to do good. And when it says to be in a safe pasture, I want to be in a safe pasture because there's fences around me in a pasture because I have horses. I just came out from the pasture.
A few minutes ago?
Just probably 20 minutes before I came on the air.
Yeah.
Just praising God outside because it's beautiful here today.
Oh, good.
But when you're in a pasture that is safe.
Yes.
There's no weeds. There's nothing to worry about while the horses are eating. They're secure. They can actually lay down and not worry about being victimized or being traumatized by coyotes or whatever. And that's what God does with us, Pastor.
Yes, it is.
He puts us, when we delight in him, he delights in us. And I know he smiles and he looks down on us and goes, you know, you're doing really, really good. I'm really pleased with you. And that's when I think that the desires of our heart are met.
Yes.
Because Jesus delights in us.
Well, don't you think that, and I mentioned this earlier in the first hour, but I think it bears repeating, if we do the opposite of this, if we never delight ourselves in the Lord, if we never thrill to the words of God that we have in our Bibles, if we never praise God, if we never think about how great God is, we're not going to get the desires of our hearts, are we?
No, because I think what God does through his word is his word encourages us. When we're encouraged,
right,
we're in a much better situation.
Yes.
We're a lot happier. We don't have, you know, even though we may be going through trials and tribulations, God still is working today like he did back then. And he wants us to draw closer to him. And how do we draw closer to him is through his word.
Amen.
And he wants us to be, he wants us to be happy, Pastor.
He does.
And, you know, even say, well, you don't know my situation. And I said, but God does.
Yes, he does.
God knows your situation. Talk to him. Let him know that, let him know your heart.
Amen.
And a lot of people, a lot of people hesitate, Pastor, that when the going gets tough and you're too tired to stand, kneel.
Right.
Because that's when we need him the most.
Oh, amen. Mm. You know, all of this that we're talking about today, and it's just interesting how these songs are fitting in perfectly, like they always do.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is the C.C. Winan song, Holy Spirit, Come Fill This Place. And, you know, that is what we need from God. Come and fill this place, meaning us. Okay? It can mean a building, and it can mean a service. But in this case, today on this show, it's talking about us personally. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. God, invade my space. Root out the junk in my life that is not pleasing to you. Root out the bad attitudes and the bad feelings and all of that. And instead, God, replace it with you. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Breath of God, we need a fresh touch from you. We need to so grasp these truths, Betty, that when we read Psalm 37:5, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. This goes back to verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. You know, we were talking about today in the sermon at Beacon, we were talking about the center verse of the Bible, and you probably heard this, Betty, but it is Psalm 118, verse 8. And that verse is so important. It is the exact center verse of the Bible. And there are 594 chapters prior to Psalm 118. And there are 594 after. And if you add those two numbers together, 594 and 594, you get 1188. And the address of the center verse in the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 8, 1188. And that verse, it's very important. It says this, Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And that is what it's all about. Delighting yourself in the Lord is learning to trust in him. This is the center verse of the entire Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to take refuge in man. Unbelievable. I love what God is saying to us here. And in Psalm 37, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. There's that word again. And he will do this. Talk to me about that, Betty, because the whole thing here is delighting and trust.
And, you know, trust comes over a period of time.
It does.
It doesn't come, it's just like trusting when a baby walks. He's trusting his mom or his dad or his guardian, whoever, is to make sure that he's safe, that there won't be any harm that comes to him. If he happens to fall, which we all do at times,
right.
God is there to pick us up, brush us off, and to say, okay, now let's try this again. Because we do put our trust. So, when you and Nathan were talking about the verses of some of the songs that are, you know, infiltrating the radio and on DVDs and CDs, is that man has gotten away from trusting in God.
Right.
And trusting so much more in man himself.
Exactly.
That it's a deception.
Mm-hmm.
And when we trust in God, just like we did with, you know, what went on in our lives just, you know, a few weeks ago.
Right.
Is that we had to solely trust in God because something that we wanted so deeply.
Right.
Was taken away.
Right.
But we kept our faith and our trust in him.
Amen.
Because he is good. And there is so much good in the last few weeks that has come out of this, out of our situation particularly, is that growth.
Mm-hmm.
Total reliance on him. And we had talked about this when we were down there a couple weeks ago, is submission.
Yes. That's what
surrender.
It's all this is about. All this is about surrender and submission.
Yep, and it's not an easy thing to do when you're down on your knees or you're driving in your car or whatever, is to say, God, I've got a situation, and there's a situation I'm thinking about now with a relative of yours, is that they have to trust in God.
Absolutely.
To get them through this.
Yeah.
And because there is going to be good come out of this.
Yes, there will.
Even though there is trauma and there's deception,
right.
And lies and drama, is that God doesn't want us living in that type
Amen.
Of environment.
Amen.
He wants us living in a peaceful, content, where we can totally depend on him.
Amen.
It's tough. I mean, I've been there, you've been there, we've done it. But you know what? We've come through stronger and mightier in him than we've ever been in our, in I have, in, at least in my entire life as a Christian.
Yeah.
And I know I can hear some people now, you don't know what I'm going through.
Right.
It's like, no, maybe I don't. Man doesn't either, but I know somebody that does know
Amen.
What you're going through. Right?
And you know, this is so right. Let's go to Isaiah 26, and I want to read the first two or three verses here. Isaiah 26 talks about our minds and how, you know, we have a strong city. It's Salvation City for our minds, you know, and built and fortified with salvation. Salvation means healing and wholeness. Whatever it is that we're going through, as we delight ourselves in God and as we trust Him with all of our hearts, like you all had to do in the situation you just went through, how my relative is going through right now through this very difficult time. But the key here is delighting and trusting in God to the extent that your mind is not in control, but God's word and God in you has the upper hand. You know what I'm talking about? Verse 3 of Isaiah 26, the steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. Whoa, I love that. And in the Message Bible, it says, people with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole. Steady on their feet because they keep at it and don't quit. Depend on God and keep at it because in the Lord God, you have a sure thing. Aren't we all looking for a sure thing?
Oh,
you know?
Yes. Yes, you know, I know there's people that think they can find a sure thing in alcohol.
Right.
Or they can find a sure thing in drugs,
right.
Prescription drugs, illegal drugs or whatever.
Right.
But the only true thing that we can actually trust and believe in and know that he's coming back again for us that have that gift of salvation and it's
right.
free to anyone that wants it
yeah.
is Jesus Christ himself.
Right. Well, and that's it.
And you know, Pastor, this isn't rocket science.
No, it's not. It's pretty easy, isn't it?
I mean, if I can understand it,
and
anyone can understand it.
There you
it.
Go.
It's awesome. It's just totally awesome. And I said, God's word is so true, Pastor.
But so Betty, true. It means we have to surrender to the way we think things should be. And there, we have tests on that all day long. Pop quizzes. You know, when I was a teacher, I remember this, just loving to give my students, my biology and chemistry and Spanish students, pop quizzes. Because it wasn't something they had time to prepare. It was more of a test. Are you listening? Are you listening? You know, and I love to do that. You know, a little 5-point pop quiz. You know, tell me, you know, whatever. Okay, I won't even try to think up a question, biology and chemistry or whatever. But the point is, we have pop quizzes all day long, Betty. We have opportunities to put into practice the truth of God's word, or we have an opportunity to absolutely refuse to do it God's way. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yes, and you know what? There's a saying on social media that says, you know, during a test is when the teacher's the quietest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's right on.
And it's like...
Explain that. Explain that to our listening audience.
Okay. We went through the biggest trial of our life a few weeks ago.
Right.
Dealing with an infant and death is
yes.
probably...
Very hard.
I think anytime, whether it be... with me, an animal, but at that point in time, it was a living soul or living
right.
being.
Yes.
And I had to pull everything I had together to hold myself together.
Exactly.
But it wasn't me, Pastor.
No.
It was God holding me
yes.
together. I can't speak for anyone else in my family, but he held us together.
Yes.
And... during that time, here I go, I wasn't going to do this, he was quiet.
God was quiet.
Mm-hmm. God was quiet.
Mm-hmm. He does that a lot of times.
And it's like, a few weeks down there, you know, I let go of some things that I was holding on to.
Yeah.
And it's like, where are you?
Right. God, where are you when I need you?
Hey, yeah. You know, I'm knocking on the door,
mm-hmm.
and you say, knock and it shall be open, you know, and it's like, where are you? I need you.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs outside,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
my family's in the house going, what is wrong with her? I said, well, I was just having a discussion with God.
I love it.
And you know what he said? You know what he told me? He told me this at the altar at Beacon of Hope. I am with you.
Yes. Yes.
And that's all it took. That's all it took, Pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was just those little words.
Yeah.
I am with you.
Just a reminder.
Just a simple reminder, Betty Lou. I am with you.
Amen.
And that can settle, that can take the worry, the doubt,
yeah.
the fear that troubles our minds and our hearts, to know that He may be quiet, but He's still there.
I love that. I love that because He's faithful to His word. He's faithful to His promises. And sometimes we get sidetracked because we think He's promised whatever it is we want to go our way, the way we want it to go. And He's faithful to His promises, but that doesn't always mean that we get the outcome in the situation that we have the way we want it to be, because God, and I know you've heard me say this a lot lately, Betty, God is sovereign. He knows the very best outcome for each of us, and we have got to submit to that. That whatever His decision is for us in the situations in our lives, He is faithful. It says in the Message Bible in Isaiah 26, throw wide the gates so good and true people can enter. That word there is faithful people. God is looking for faithful people. Just like we started this show with that old song, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Faithfulness,
you know?
Yeah.
Because God is faithful. He wants us to be faithful. Faithful to read His word. Faithful to delight in Him. Faithful to pray and praise God, and faithful to praise Him in the midst of the storm. Whatever it takes, He is calling us to be a people that are faithful to Him and to what He's calling us to do.
Yes, yes. And I know it's not easy.
Oh, no, none of this is.
I keep sound like I'm being repetitive, but that's what He requires. And even though that the situation that we went through, it's not what we wanted.
No.
By any means.
Right.
But you see the rewards.
Yes.
That come because it was His will be done.
Right.
Not mine.
Right.
And I don't mean to be so.
No, that's right on. That's what God's been saying to me.
Is that people's lives have, I mean, people have told, not necessarily me, but other members of our family, is that your situation changed my life.
Amen.
They found Christ.
Amen.
They found peace. They found comfort.
Amen.
Because we could have been downtrodden, and I probably was a little bit more, but my daughter Megan was so sold out
right.
during this situation that 990 people have followed her on a social media site,
right.
saying her over and over again, how do you do this?
She's ministering to a lot of them.
Yes, 990 people.
And this lady this week that just, I don't know what's happened with her pregnancy, but another one this week has come up, haven't they?
Oh, yes. They come up.
Yeah.
And it's a daily situation.
Right.
So people, if you think that people aren't watching you.
Yeah.
In listening to you,
yes.
in how you handle situations,
right.
is that, yes, they do. When you're walking the walk and you're talking the talk, people are listening.
Amen.
And that's what God wants us to do, and that's where that trust comes in.
Yes.
And that's where being on the front lines.
Amen.
And understanding that, yeah, it is going to get tough. But you know, when the going gets tough, that's an old secular saying, but the tough get going.
That's the truth, isn't it?
That's what God wants
us
to do. He's toughening us up, because times on this earth are not going to get any better.
Right.
But in His kingdom, all things come together for those that love the Lord.
Amen. Woo! That's exactly right. And we come to this point where we realize that we must put our minds on God. And in the Message Bible there, the verse 3, the steadfast of mind that will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. The Message Bible says, it bears repeating, people with their minds set on you keep completely whole. Steady on their feet because they keep at it and don't quit. Depend on God and keep at it, because in the Lord God, you have a sure thing.
Amen.
So when you delight yourself in God, when you take authority over the junk that the enemy's putting in your mind, and if he's telling you stuff that is just not of God and it doesn't bring you peace, if it's thoughts of being mad or jealous or confused or tormented or full of fear or doubt, unbelief, whatever it is, okay, that stuff is not from God if it doesn't bring you peace, okay?
Sure.
Trust in the Lord and do good, okay? And do good. And it's not good when we succumb to all that. Back to that story of Jairus and his daughter and Jesus, Betty, taking just Peter, James, and John and the parents in there in that room. He didn't want all that negativity in there, did he?
No. And that's what, in our situations today, is that there is so much negativity.
Right.
And it's like, if you would look at Jesus today, if as he walks among us through the power of his Holy Spirit,
right,
is that he's looking for a few good men and women. And he
sounds like the Marine Corps to me, really.
Yeah, it does.
Frontline freedom. Here we go. On the front lines, a few good men. And women.
A few good men, but he's walking among us. He's looking at our hearts.
Yes.
And he wants us faithful. He wants to be able to trust us. And I think that's why that those people were with him at that time, is because those are the ones that he knew he could trust. And he wanted the mom and he wanted the dad there, especially, and the mom, because he knew their faith was so strong. Because it's like, if Jesus came up to you and said, what can I do? Where are the faithful? It's like, I am. I want my hand raised. I'll be jumping up and down.
That's right. Hey, pick me.
Pick me. And that's why he picked them, because he knew they were faithful.
2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his.
Yep.
Holy Fire by Vineyard UK.
Heaven.
let us breathe.
Expectancy, surrender to your sovereignty. Did that get to you, Betty?
Yeah, just a little bit. Sorry.
Wow.
It's a daily thing, I think, anymore, Pastor.
It is.
Pardon me for the tears. But
that's all right.
There's just so much going on in this world, and there's not too much that we can put our faith and trust in.
Right.
And He is sovereign.
Yeah.
He is Jehovah God. He is the beginning and the end,
yeah.
And it all begins and it ends with
yeah.
Him.
Yeah. So waiting in expectancy and surrendered to His sovereignty. That phrase has gripped me just now listening to that, because this is what it's all about. We wait. We delight ourselves in God. We wait in expectancy, knowing that God has got the best choices already planned for us. That when He says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you." Plans to bless you, to give you a future and a hope. You know, not for bad things, but for good things. And when we wait in expectancy and we're surrendered to His sovereignty and what His plan is, we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge Him and He directs our path. Talk to me, Betty.
One of the things that you learn in driving or taking on responsibility is that you lean not into your own understanding,
mm-hmm.
because it's a learning path.
It is.
It's somewhere when you look out into a dense fog, it's like, if you're driving, where am I going? But you depend on God to get you through that fog. And a fog doesn't mean necessarily on a road, but maybe it's something in your life that you just can't get through.
Right.
His sovereignty, His word, His promises are true. And I repeat this again, what He says, He will do. You can take that to the bank.
Yeah, you can.
Because He has been faithful to me, and He has been more than my Heavenly Father. He's been my rock.
Right.
And it doesn't mean all the time that I try to do good, but I mess up every now and then. And
right.
I messed up on Friday really bad. And, you know, after I messed up, I knew that all I had to do was say, hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Hey, Abba Father. Hey, Poppy.
Right.
Whatever you call him, he hears you. And he answers you in the best manner that is best for you. It may not be what you want, but he answers you in the way that is best for you. And when I asked for forgiveness on Friday, he forgave me.
Absolutely.
And I didn't have to drag 345 pounds of garbage with me. I just ask at that time, oh God, please forgive me for what I just did. I am so sorry. I mean, I go a little bit further, you know, dear God, you know, I really messed up this time. I mean, I did something I shouldn't have, and he's like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All you had to do is say and know that you are forgiven.
Amen. Betty.
And it's like, we make it so hard
we
sometimes.
We do.
Pastor.
We do.
And it doesn't take that. It just takes you to get a hold of his hand.
Right.
And not let go, because he won't let go. He will not let go until he sees you through your trial and your battle. He
Amen.
Will not let go of your hand. Promise you that.
Amen. You know, very early this morning, I was preparing for the service and for the show. And God gave me a word, and I wrote it down here in my little book that he gives me these words. And I really felt like I was to read it at some point today and totally forgot about it till right now. And I feel like it's for now. And here's what God says. And it's for all you listeners. It's for every one of us. Yes, my child, delight yourself in me. This is God talking. Enjoy my presence. Run to me for your peace.
Amen.
In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. When you feel overwhelmed and burdened by life's issues and problems, take a time out. A time out from the hassles, frustrations, fear, anxious thoughts, all of that, and come away with me and rest. Rest in me, delight in me, tell me your frustrations and anxieties, and watch me remove that stress and panic. Feel my arms of love around you and feel my peace and know that I am bringing all the details into my perfect plan for you. I will give you wisdom and renewed direction. You will begin to just relax in the sure knowledge that I am in control of the problem. And I am will see you through those details into the answers and the resolution. So learn this lesson, delight in me and in my words. And as you do, trust in me builds within you. And you can see what you are to do about the problem. I will lead you to still waters and green pastures. No evil will overtake you as you learn the joy of trusting me in each situation. Yes, become a trustee of my goodness, my faithfulness, and my peace. Keep your mind fixed and resting in my promises and watch me strengthen you, my child. Yes, watch me do all this. I love you so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This show will be on our website sometime tomorrow afternoon if you want to hear that word again, or if you want actually a typewritten copy of that, because it's very strong, just write me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and I'll send it to you. pastor@bohmglobal.com. Betty Ho, we're about to the end. Wednesday night Bible study at 7. You got to enjoy it last couple weeks ago, didn't you? Wasn't it great?
Oh, yes. Mighty service. Mighty service.
And prayer meeting around the altar at 5:30 on Wednesdays now, and that has been a real joy. Sunday morning, 10:30. Prayer requests, send them to prayers@bohmglobal.com. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Betty, give us some final thoughts here before we begin the wrap-up.
Well, I believe that there are listeners out there that need some delight and joy in their life.
Yes, yes.
That the enemy has overtaken you to the point where you feel like that you've given up, that there is no hope for you. But I, as the pastor has and I have talked, and as Nathan and the pastor have talked in the first hour, delight in the Lord. Give him the highest degree of gratification.
Yeah.
There is extreme satisfaction in knowing,
amen,
in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you don't know him, email the pastor or email the you know, bohmglobal.com at prayers, and they will give you insight. They will pray for you. We will pray for you.
Amen.
And don't let another day go by in walking in despair, depression, or discouragement, because there is someone who cares out there.
Amen.
We at Beacon of Hope care.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ cares.
Amen. Wow. Good stuff. It's always a joy to share the Word of God with our listeners every week, isn't it, Betty? I mean, it's just fun to be able to share these truths, and we're living it ourselves and walking in it every day. So,
you know,
go on.
It lifts us, you know, as Nathan was talking about what it was like to, you know, be on the, in the radio ministry.
Yeah.
Is we can be down ourselves.
Right.
And by the end of the show, or however long you're in it, you're uplifted.
You're uplifted.
Because you've been given the word. You've had, you know, we've prayed and so forth. And it's just, I mean, it sets you apart. It sets your time for the day, for tomorrow, until you go to service on Wednesday and hear the word. That prepares you until you get to church on Sunday.
Right.
It's wonderful. It's enlightening.
Amen. So go to our website, bohmglobal.com. You can catch 300 and some shows. We're getting ready to celebrate our 400th show here in November. But there's a lot of them on our website. This show will be up tomorrow. If you want to hear that word of God or anything, the encouragement from this show today. Betty and Nathan, it's a joy to have you on as a part of the radio team. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister and our radio team saying it's not far to Jesus, dear ones. Join us again next Sunday live at 3 o'clock, followed at 5 o'clock next Sunday with the memorial celebration, really, for the owner of this station, Dave Wagenford. And if anybody's welcome to Naughty Nancy's right here behind us in the radio, kind of in the backyard here, for a big celebration next Sunday at 5 o'clock. And tune in next Sunday at 3 with us. If you want to talk to me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Prayer request, prayers@bohmglobal.com. God bless you. Have a great week. It's been fun sharing the Word of God with you this day.
WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.